Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to show 299 of our podcast, Absolutely Intercultural. Today, we are going to talk about cultural aspects of sexual harassment, which is a subject that apparently touches on deeply personal beliefs, but also cultural values and societal norms. It is a topic that produces strong feelings and diverse perspectives, depending on personal experiences, but also cultural backgrounds, and even different legal frameworks around the world. When we first brainstormed the subject, we found that even within our little podcast team of five, three of us had been victims, and we quickly got a glimpse of very different views from Australia, Albania, Turkey, Portugal, and Germany. As always, our goal in this episode is not to support one perspective over another, but to offer a platform for the range of voices to share their stories and perceptions. This is the Absolutely Intercultural podcast, and we seriously appreciate cultural diversity and different views on the same subject, and absolutely everyone is welcome to think absolutely everything about this topic today. By sending out this episode, we hope to encourage a deeper understanding and promote a more thoughtful and respectful dialogue on this topic. Let us listen to a short preview of what we will hear from our guests today. In our first story, Absolutely Consensual, we will listen to Jonas from Germany. Jonas talks about a friend who was in a relationship in which he desired more intimacy than his girlfriend. Can sex between people in a romantic relationship be called rape?
That's a part where consent has not been given and still something happened. They were in a relationship, but it's still, I would count that as rape because...
In our second story, Absolutely Unacceptable, we will listen to Anna, who is an exchange student from Albania. Anna tells us that the topic of sexual harassment should not even be called controversial, because no matter in which case the assault happens, if there was a no from one of the parties, then there is nothing to discuss.
If from one side it's a no, then I don't think it should be called controversial, because it's a no, it will always be a no, it will always be a bad thing to happen to someone.
In our last story, Absolutely Accused, we will listen to Xavier. He's from Australia and tells us a personal story in which he was put into an uncomfortable situation because a girl repeatedly touched him in an inappropriate way. The girl categorized this interaction as normal, whereas Xavier concludes if the same thing were to happen the other way around, that is, if he as a man touched the woman in the same place, immediately this would be seen as an assault.
But if I did that to her, or if I did that to another girl who I loosely know, that would be straight up assault, I reckon.
Now let us begin the show. In our first story, Absolutely Consensual, Jonas will share the story of a female friend. Her male partner at the time wanted to have sex with her, but she did not. She did not give him consent, and continuing without consent should be considered as rape. Initially, Oljana asked Jonas whether consent is only necessary outside romantic relationships.
There should always be consent, like even if it's in a relationship or just on one stand or wherever, there should always be consent between someone, because if someone doesn't want something, then it shouldn't happen. I heard from a situation from a female friend of mine that was laying with an now ex-boyfriend. and he just said like, oh, I'm in the mood, I want to have sex with you right now. And she didn't want it, she wasn't in the mood, she didn't want to have sex. And but it happened, even though she didn't want it. So that's a part where consent has not been given and still something happened. They were in a relationship, but it's still, I would count that as rape.
How would you say that university's culture treats situations like sexual harassment?
We have different sides of that. So first of all, with sex stuff going on, and it was just saying like everyone that comes here to our campus gets like a bag with some stuff, and it has like a pencil, a block in there, and we also have condoms in there, because it's like if you want to have fun, have fun. But as I said, consent should be something that should always be there. And now comes the second part. I think we did have some problems at the university, like not massive problems, but there have been occasions where things happened. We even have like a work group that managed all this stuff and does walk around at the campuses. Trying to make new concepts for not only sexual harassment, but also like discrimination and stuff and all that. Trying to make the whole university a place where people feel more safe. And that begins with like more motion sensors, so the light stays on. Maybe even removing doors or walls, so that there are not that many like spaces where no one can see something. And we try to make the campus a safe place for everyone, and I think we are quite a safe space. We have also always a lot of people looking everywhere, because there have been I know from just one case where there was even more than just sexual harassment at a female toilet, and that has to have consequences, and the consequences we do out of that is just now having this work group that focuses on making the campus even a better protected space for everyone, so everyone feels safer.
Jonas suggests that if one party does not consent to the continuing intimacy, it should stop immediately and be considered as rape. Jonas also explains ongoing efforts to actively influence the academic culture of safe spaces and eliminate potential dangers in universities, which should be safe for all students. He tells us about a group at Rhein A campus that even considers removing some walls or some doors on campus so that every corner is visible from the outside and a third party could always rush in to help. In our second category, absolutely unacceptable, we hear from Anna, who tells the story of her friend who was the victim of sexual harassment in the workplace from a male co-worker. This friend reported the behavior to senior management, who told her to let that incident go and not talk about it anymore. The aggressor was her direct supervisor at the same time. Therefore, the company was a little worried about raising a concern. Anna's friend eventually had to find a different job as a result of this incident. Initially, Oljana asked Anna whether she would be prepared to talk about this controversial topic.
I don't think it should be called as a controversial topic. I know it is because of our society, but I don't think it should be called a controversial topic. Because we often say in these cases of sexual harassment that, oh my God, the girl was wearing a revealing skirt, that's why that happened to her. Or, oh my God, that guy was being provocative, that's why it happened to him. And I don't think we should be saying that, and I don't think our society should be saying this, even though it really happens. There's not good or bad in the situation, there's only bad. It should not happen. And any kind of outfit or any kind of action, if from one side it's a no, then I don't think it should be called controversial. Because it's a no, it will always be a no, it will always be a bad thing to happen to someone. I think it's a phenomenon that often gets brushed aside or dismissed, and when victims try to talk about it or speak out about it, they are often met with disbelief and doubt. And there's this myth that it happened at specific times, at specific places, where people are wearing specific clothes, but it's not true. And I know it's not true because of examples that are also very close to me. For example, a close friend of mine was having this very difficult time at her job place because her coworker was making her feel very uncomfortable. And even though when she said that she was feeling very uncomfortable, even though she reported this behavior to the higher managers in the company, she was told to brush it off and let it go because it was not that big of a deal, and because the male was higher than her in his position and his career would be ruined if she talked about it. So she was left with nothing to do but to quit her job because that's how bad it got. And now she had to provide a whole new life for herself, and she had to do everything from the beginning just because the topic was not getting talked enough.
We talked a bit about sexual harassing happening in the workplace. How do you think that the culture of a business affects the response in these situations?
I think that if you create a safe place for your employees and you have a company culture that makes your employees feel comfortable to open up and talk about their problems, then this phenomenon would not happen this much, or even if it happens, because it will always happen, just like it happened to my friend, she wouldn't have to quit her job, and it wouldn't be uncomfortable for other coworkers to work with that specific employee that makes the others feel uncomfortable with his actions.
Anna suggests that in some cases the work culture needs to be changed and concludes that if the company had offered a safe space for employees, Anna's friend would not have been forced to quit her job and her other female co-workers would not have to deal with this aggressor anymore. In our last story, Absolutely Accused, we will listen to Xavier, who gives us a glimpse of what it's like to be the accused party. While Anna told us about the bias against the victims, Xavier explains how hard it is to refute an accusation once it is in the room. He shares a personal story where he was in an uncomfortable situation and found it very hard to speak up. If proving consent or the lack of consent is so difficult, would it really be absurd to actually record the mutual consent before going any further?
Yes, there's just a lot of bias against the accused when it comes to specifically sexual harassment, because it's one of those things where it's just so impossible to prove that you have to go with whoever can tell the best story, because and the problem with a lot of consent things as well is that it's impossible to prove consent. I've also known a girl who, she said it jokingly, but also like it was something she was serious about, that it wouldn't be absurd for both partners to record, I consent to this, this, and this before having any sort of sexual contact, because she has been accused as well. Like, she's had a lesbian friend claim, oh, she molested me, or another, a guy actually claimed that she did something. So there's a lot of bias against whoever the accused is. The accuser always gets the first word.
I was wondering if society treats men and women differently when there's a sexual harassment claim being made.
Absolutely. There was once a girl in one of my classes who every time I'd walk past her, she'd slap me on the butt. That was something where it's like, if I were to speak up, I couldn't really speak up. On the other hand, there was a girl who I'd zone out sitting in class, just looking at her. She said that was a problem to her parents. She didn't even say it to the school, but, you know, she was sort of talking with her parents and went, there's this guy in my class who keeps looking at me. It's kind of creepy. And they later called up the school. And then the first day of school that following year, I was called in by the brand new principal and told, you can't keep doing this, this is harassment, this is a problem. If you keep staring at her, you're going to have to face detention or suspension. And there were all these, you know, threats that were thrown around just for looking at someone. But if I get slapped on the butt every single day coming into class, I can't really speak up on that. I can't really say that makes me uncomfortable, that's weird. Because it's, you know, she does that to everyone. That's fine. That's not harassment. That's just a friendly thing. But if I did that to her, or if I did that to another girl who I loosely know, that would be straight up assault, I reckon.
Wow, that is strong stuff. Xavier tells us that at school, a girl jokingly slapped him on his butt every day, and he felt very uncomfortable. But he simply could not speak up for himself because he's a man and his complaint would sound odd. However, if the same action happened the other way around, from a man to a woman, this identical act would be considered as an assault in his culture. Xavier also demonstrates how hard it is to prove that an accusation is not right, because society is more likely to believe the person who has the best story to tell. Now, what about you? Have you or someone you know well ever faced sexual harassment? When we first discussed the topic, I remember that many years ago, I had a very strong incident in a sports club, which in the 1970s, I did not even think of as sexual harassment because the word was not used at the time, and it was 40 years before the Me Too movement. My culture at the time was very different, and I did not pay much attention to this incident. Now, get in touch. Feel free to share your unique story about cultural differences with us here on the podcast. Write a comment or mail us. We could do a follow-up interview with you in one of our next shows. On our webpage, absolutely-intercultural.com, you can get more information about this show and previous episodes. And you can leave comments. And if you enjoyed the show, please like us on Facebook too. By the way, did you know we are also on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify? You can subscribe to us there for free and give us a rating and a comment. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 1st of November. Until then, find out what you would do if you were sexually harassed at the university or in your workplace. And above all, bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Vollständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.